Rise and shine, liberty-loving patriots. Welcome to the Chris Ann Hall Daily Journal. Chris Ann Hall here, KRISANNEHALL.com, where we are liberty over security, principle over party, and truth over your favorite personality. Welcome, JC.
Howdy, howdy.
Welcome to the craziest week of the craziest year.
Again, still.
The year that never ends. Do you remember that song you used to sing at camp or on the bus? This is a song that never ends. It goes on and on, my friend. Yeah?
Yep.
That's what 2020 is. The year that never ends.
Getting close.
Yes. Thank you, everybody, for joining us. What do we got going on here? Look at all. I love to see our people. Hey, look, Peaceful Pond Place Sweet Shops. You guys sponsored a show this week.
All right.
And we've been munching on chocolate. Hello from Kamafornistan. Mm-hmm. You know what? I'm beginning to think there's more like that than just California. Welcome from, what's this, from communist hell, which could be like 37 states in the union at this point. Look at all. You know what I like about our people? They talk to each other. They're like friends now.
Right.
They have like inside conversations. How's your kids? You know,
how's that
ingrown toenail thing coming along? You know, they're all personal and they love each other. Why? Because we're not leftists. How's your mom and him?
Mm-hmm.
Mayonnaise a lot of people around here.
So what's up?
Craziness. What's no, here we go. Are you ready?
I am. As a matter of fact.
There you go. Oh, Christine's pushing buttons. I don't know if Stalin really said it, but it is really true. And that's what we're seeing, you know? And I think that's what the American people are experiencing today. Mm-hmm. And I'm just seeing some crazy things going on. And I'm not saying there's fraud. I'm not saying there's definitively hanky-panky going on. I'm just saying there's some weird stuff.
Shenanigans.
Look at this. See, this was the one thing. You pointed this out in your Instagram.
It is interesting.
That is very, very interesting. Yeah, so, very peculiar.
Mm-hmm. I'm a numbers guy.
I am a numbers gal.
Look at the numbers.
That's maybe why we get along.
It is. It's fascinating. The Republican for Michigan Senate seat beats the Democrat, at least according to the last count at 99%, beats the Democrat by 16,000 votes. Yet Biden beats Trump by over twice that many. So it's a very odd split. Those splits happen.
But it's still odd, given the surroundings.
It's rare. And it is, I would say, more peculiar in such an intensely partisan election. You know what I mean? So it's very odd for that many people to vote for someone like John James and then vote for Biden.
Well, what's interesting, JC, is maybe people don't realize the majority of your voters will vote a party.
Yeah. And somebody asked on Facebook when I shared this about the third party. Well, maybe they voted for this guy, then voted for him because there's no third party alternative. Yeah, there were actually matching third party candidates.
So they could have voted third party at both
levels.
Senate
in fact,
level too.
Yeah, in fact, most of those votes match up. So when you see whatever party, you know, Constitutional Party candidate in the presidential race, then got the same amount in the Senate, you know, and I don't remember which party. I'm just saying Constitution Party as a, just as a made up example. There's like Green Party candidate and different ones. But anyway, it was,
it's just really odd. This is the other thing.
It didn't seem, the third party issue didn't seem to account for that.
This is the other thing that is kind of strange to me. How one candidate gets 100% of the votes in a county.
Yeah,
what are the statistical odds of that? I mean, it's,
I suppose,
just
it would depend
so
on the county,
unlike-
and the size of the county. Some of these, you know, intensely Democrat, intensely small Democrat urban spots, I could see that. But yeah, looking at certain places, that's obviously a very strange thing.
It is an incredibly strange thing.
So it's pretty crazy as it, so as it stands now, President Trump still has a path to victory.
Mm-hmm.
It's, you know, it's slim and closing, perhaps it seems. But basically we're waiting on Nevada. It's like 8,000 votes. Biden has an 8,000 vote lead in Nevada, which, I mean, that's nothing. And they were, I want to say 74% or so counting.
Let's pull that up. You can talk about it.
They,
so Nevada, according to 270 to win, Nevada, Arizona, Georgia, North Carolina, and Pennsylvania are still out.
Yeah. Yeah. And you won't get the numbers on those. But so I think it's at 74%. But anyway, the thing in Nevada, they're not, they're not going to be putting out the data and all that sort of stuff. So you're not going to know anything. Like, they're absolutely silent about this. I think they said until tomorrow. So you won't know anything from there. 75%, and I think it was about 8,000.
Is that accurate?
Yeah, it's about 8,000 vote difference. Yeah, still the same. 8,000 vote difference.
And they just, they're still counting, but they're not publishing.
Is
that for like some kind of dramatic effect so they can have the mic drop moment, or
no, just integrity, I guess. They're just the way they do things. But
so Trump is ahead 300,000 votes in Pennsylvania with 87% reporting.
Yeah, so it's pretty far along as far as the count, but the story is that there are a million votes.
There are story.
Million votes left to count, the million mail-in ballots that they're counting.
And 100% of them go to Joe Biden.
Well, the Biden campaign is saying that they're getting 70 to 75% share of the mail-in ballots, so they think they'll win Pennsylvania. The Trump campaign says they're up enough and they're going to get more than that. I think the split has been something like somewhere around 60-40 is actually mm-hmm. the way it's ended up. And, so with a million, right? So you're talking, what is Trump? Trump has something like 500,000. So it's 28, 29, 30, 31. So right around 300,000. Okay. So then if the 60-40 would hold true, there's a million votes, then Joe would get 600,000. President Trump would get an additional 400,000, which would put Trump ahead by 100,000 votes in Pennsylvania. So if that 60-40 holds true,
if the 60-40 holds true, then Biden wins.
No,
then Trump wins.
Trump would win.
Okay.
Pennsylvania. Would win Pennsylvania. If the, you know, average share, what they've been reporting, you know, the polls, not the polls, but the data coming back on the counted ballots, you know, throughout the country and in Pennsylvania and in these swing states. So it's been about a 60-40 split for Biden in the mail-in ballots. So if that's the case, if there, like I said, if there's a million and it sticks to the 60-40, Trump being up about 300,000 votes, then that puts Trump at a final tally of plus 100,000. Obviously that could veer, you know, that could fluctuate either way. So you're talking about still an incredibly tight race that could go either way in that state.
North Carolina's even closer.
When you throw in voter fraud, which that's the big concern and big fight now. So when you throw in Pennsylvania in particular, is what the Trump team, Rudy Giuliani and the attorneys are.
Yeah, Rudy Giuliani was really going crazy over that today.
That there's irregularities and voter fraud. Then we have a video. We actually have a video out of Pennsylvania where
this is Michigan.
Is that Michigan?
Yeah, so it's Michigan.
Okay, it's Michigan. But Pennsylvania has a long history of corruption in the electoral system. So that's what's happening. So you
let's
know,
watch this
if
video.
You're a praying person, you pray against the voter fraud.
Yeah.
Just pray that you know both sides would have access to the ballots and be able to observe the counting. And that all the votes that are supposed to be counted are counted.
Now, let me show you guys this one. We'll go ahead and make it bigger there for you.
With the counting, just as the Democrats are in counting. Now, Mr. Sims has said that there are COVID rules that he cannot break, and therefore he's not allowing these people in. If that is the case, let's take 10 or 12 or 15 Democrats out and let 10 or 12 or 15 or 19 Republicans in.
Even it up.
These fine people have been on a rooftop in the sun. They are well-behaved, well-groomed, cooperative and patient. And they merely want their opportunity to help count and watch the counting.
So apparently the only people counting in this Michigan district are Democrats, and the Republicans there are there to help count, and they're being told they can't help count because of COVID.
Yeah. So only Democrats can count the votes because of COVID. That's what's happening in Michigan.
So
meanwhile, the guy standing in the door without his mask.
Right. So here's the thing, JC. If something like this were to go to lawsuit, this is the kind of evidence that would overturn and cause question or maybe even recount of votes.
Yeah, I would think okay? Recount.
Yeah, so recount of votes. So then what happens then upon recount? That they actually discover shenanigans, and now all of these counts, all these votes are discarded because the court said this is unlawful voting practice. This is obviously deceptive voting practice, the court says. You have to go back and recount all these votes in this district, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so then they go back and count. They discover that there was misaction. And now what you have are people who not only do not trust the election system, they don't trust the courts either. Thank you, Joni D, for your super chat. Even if Trump wins, this country is still going downhill really quickly. We need to take back big tech, education, and the media to solve this problem.
Indeed.
And I would put education in. I mean, at this point, big tech is education, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's all one. You've got You've got Microsoft in the classroom everywhere. It's all one thing. It's all about information and training people in information.
It's consolidation. That's the philosophy. That's always the end of all these philosophies is consolidation.
Well, that's interesting because that's part of the Marxist principle is to consolidate agencies into one agency.
Consolidate everything.
Yeah. Well, that's
one world government, one world religion, one world leader, one world military, one world economy. It's consolidation.
So the question then becomes this, with the lack of confidence in the voting system, because that's going to be really big, because I don't think, no matter who wins, neither side is going to be confident of the end result.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, at this point, with all everything, I mean, Biden comes out. What was that speech? Biden came out and said, I'm not here to declare that I'm a winner, but
yeah, and that's,
I won.
Right. And that stuff's fed by the media. So it was I thought it was. It's incredibly interesting to watch the reactions, because you've seen the, I don't know what else to call it, but a psyop, the psyop that's been ongoing to program a response into the people. You've talked about it numerous mm-hmm. times. So in the lead up to yesterday, for multiple months, we've heard this brainwashing, programming, messaging. What if Trump doesn't accept the results? What if Trump tries to overthrow, blah, 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 all this sort of stuff. So then Trump and Biden come out. It was incredibly on display. Trump and Biden come out.
The showmanship.
They essentially say the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Biden comes out and says, I'm not here to declare the winner, but I believe when the votes are counted, we'll win.
Mm-hmm.
Trump comes out and in fact, not even Trump, but several of his surrogates saying, you know, we believe we've won this particular state. Now, mm-hmm. Biden essentially declared victory over
the
whole
over the entire election.
Trump campaign says, I believe we've won the state. The media, from top to bottom, including the so-called conservative media, in addition to several Republicans, were apoplectic that Trump was saying these things. When Biden said it, they just sort of chuckled and moved on.
Mm-hmm.
So it's incredible to watch. You have to question, when I was watching the reactions on Fox, and you know, some of them, you can tell some of them, you know, the ones that obviously are anti-Trump is pretty clear. But I had to question the almost uniform reaction with all of them. You know, that they don't even recognize how much they were affected by that programming.
Right.
And they don't even see the inconsistent response, right? The different responses they have to the same thing. So it was a big deal for Trump declaring an early winner, declaring himself the winner before the votes are counted. Biden comes out and does that. There's not a peep from anyone. Trump sort of says that about some states, and people are losing their mind. Marco Rubio is chastising Trump. Chris Christie's chastising Trump. Fox News chastising Trump. Obviously, Chris Wallace and those kind of people. They bash Trump from
what day, exactly? Day
but it's very interesting.
Credibility does Chris Christie or Marco Rubio have in any of this?
Yeah, I mean none. But
hold on, don't.
It's just telling of the way that you see even those who still go under the banner of conservatism. Mm-hmm. So they're supposed to be aligned with whatever Trump stands for.
Right.
But yet they react exactly like the deranged left.
Right.
They act in unison with the deranged left. And that was Fox. I think, and Fox seems to, they try to take the tact of, well, we're trying to be even-handed. We show both sides. We
Man,
don't
that
pick
is
a side.
So annoying.
But they do pick a side. They seem to go Absolutely. Out of their way to be pro-Democrat, either as a total ruse and participation in the PSYOP, mm-hmm. or they're such dupes that they think that's a way that they make themselves look objective.
Yeah. Well, thank you, Ampleforth, for your super chat. How has the MSNM mainstream media contributed to this fiasco?
That was what conversation we just had.
Yeah.
Not to mention all of the buildup. And we noted last night on the selection coverage how CNN was making sure to transmit the warning and motivation to their voters by keeping their map red all throughout the evening. In fact, I mean, before any voting ever even started, they had a map on the screen on CNN nonstop that was totally red. So they were kind of, you know, scaring the Democrats to move, while on Fox, they were essentially declaring it over and done with for Biden. And
if you,
it's very strange.
If you vote or do not vote based on what you're seeing on the news.
Okay, here's the deal. And this is where I need to mention this, because this is where conservatives fail. You have to get into our brains. Human beings are not primarily intellectual. They are primarily emotional.
Yeah.
So it is just an emotional manipulation. And it is a fact that emotions will overcome people when they see something as a lost cause. Like, mm-hmm. this is what happened in Wisconsin. I believe what happened in Wisconsin. You see the polls, the ridiculous. And this is the biggest takeaway of how, and I hate to use the word wrong, but how inaccurate the polls were. They weren't, I don't want to say wrong, I'll say why, but how inaccurate the polls were. So they had Biden up 17 points consistently in Wisconsin.
Right.
Well, that takes an emotional toll on people who may have voted for Trump. This is vote suppression, because right. whether you believe in principle and you try to operate by principle, you can't deny the emotional part of your being, and that has an effect on people, like it or not. And so those are things. And by the way, the pollsters, don't use the word the pollsters were wrong. They did exactly what they intended to yeah. do. This was intentional voter suppression. That's why the polls were so outlandish.
Voter suppression, voter motivation, but it was correct. Suppression of one side, motivation yeah. of the other. The
total
side.
Manipulation. Total manipulation.
So here's the whole Biden speech. And I just laughed when he said alone. It.
And now, after a long night of counting, it's clear that we're winning enough states to reach 270 electoral votes needed to win the presidency. I'm not
That's
here to declare that
of
we've won.
Winning. But you just did.
Yeah. I'm right? not
you
here.
You just
to
did.
Yeah. I'm not here.
We have enough votes to reach 270 electoral.
Let's hear them all the way through.
So that's the first declaration.
To reach 270 electoral votes needed to win the presidency. I'm not here to declare that we've won.
Even though I just did.
But I am here to report when the count is finished, we believe we will be the winners.
And I just did it
with
again.
All the votes counted, we have won Wisconsin by 20,000 votes. Virtually the same margin.
And but all the counts have not been voted.
I won the state. I just declared
he won the state. Just declared he won the entire race.
The count is not complete.
They were saying
Trump shouldn't do or else.
He says, with all the votes counted, we have won.
Which is false.
All the votes have not counted.
That statement, if it was in the form of a tweet from
President Donald Trump's
account, would have been flagged as false information, maybe deleted, taken down as somehow vote manipulation. So Joe Biden three times declared victory before the election was over while saying, I'm not doing that. So that is what Zuckerberg told the Senate Judiciary Committee. In fact, Zuckerberg said it, Dorsey said it, and whatever. The Indian guy Google,
that was
said
supposed
that
to be had, the entire purpose yes. of the media in this election post election campaign. The whole purpose of Facebook, Twitter, of Instagram, the whole purpose of the mainstream media was to be the guardian of the airwaves to make sure that we didn't have people prematurely declaring victories. That was the whole Axion interview with Zuckerberg.
Yeah.
That was his whole interview. No, we must be confident that we can come to a consensus, he said. We cannot have candidates declaring victories.
And we watched the 4-hour sent or listened to as we were driving the 4-hour Senate Judiciary hearing. And part of that hearing was mm-hmm. all three of those big tech people responding to this question. What will you do if Trump prematurely declares victory before all votes are counted? Do you have a contingency plan for that? All of them said yes. OK, so the key is none of them were asked if Biden does this, do you have a contingency plan? It was all if Trump does this. So Trump, mm-hmm. Trump gets blocked and censored and labeled. Joe Biden, we watched this on Fox News as they were watching him say it live.
Right.
They didn't stop it. They didn't cut away. They didn't do anything. And when he was done declaring victory at least three times in that speech before the votes are counted, they didn't say a word. Right after that was done, they did a segment about how inappropriate Trump's comments were in saying that they think that they're winning Pennsylvania and yep. that they won Arizona. Totally inappropriate. And matter of fact, it was Wallace said this is a, I believe, flammable situation. And Trump just threw a match on the fire by saying they believe that they're the victors in these two states.
But here you have
no
Biden.
No problem when Biden.
You
does
have,
it.
But talk about the whole match on the fire thing, right? Let's just look at the facts of this. Now, you have Biden three times in a 30-second period declaring himself the winner, Kamala and I, the winner, right? Mm-hmm. In less than a 30-second period, you want to talk about throwing a match on something? Excuse me, the buildings are being boarded up, not because angry Trump supporters are going to trash the place if Trump doesn't win.
Right.
The people that are going to trash the place are the people who ran around talking about how they were Biden, Kamala Harris supporters. So now you have Biden declaring himself the victor.
Exactly right.
Three times in 30 seconds, which means if he is not the victor,
which is still possible,
Trump
could
possible.
Win Nevada, Pennsylvania. He's the president. Nevada, Pennsylvania,
which is still possible,
assuming he holds the southern states.
That will be the match because they're going to be like Biden already told us they declare victory. How can they change it now? They mm-hmm. already declared. If they're changing it now, it's fraud.
Mm-hmm. Exactly right.
And they're the ones that are going to burn the place down.
Exactly right.
Trump supporters are not going to be happy. Trump supporters are going to be very angry.
Mm-hmm.
Trump supporters are going to be very vocal about their anger, but they're not going to burn down somebody's city over it. She didn't throw a match on that. See, that's the thing that really gets me. Throw a match on that. I wish that more people would be done with the mainstream media news.
Yeah,
I really do because
so the bias
you're
continues.
Not going to get that. You're absolutely not going to get that.
The bias continues until the very last day in office.
Now, we've been talking about this, right? Given if Biden wins, 6 months tops, he's president.
Yeah, because right now, that's very clear.
The man is
very
sick.
Clear possibility that
yes.
that he wins.
Yes.
Okay. If we talked about Trump's path, basically at this point. So if Trump holds like Trump won Florida, if he holds Georgia, holds North Carolina, which I think both of those are trending that way. It's likely at this point
mm-hmm.
that, and of course there could be recounts in Georgia as well. They've already asked for a recount in Wisconsin, which Wisconsin is irrelevant in this scenario. So Trump,
right.
If Trump wins Nevada, Trump wins Pennsylvania, he could still be president. Now for Joe Biden at this point, for what they've already called. So let's assume Wisconsin, he won Michigan, that stays, that he's won. And then Arizona, that stays. He won.
Yeah.
And all is left is he has to win. He could win Nevada. So if he wins Nevada, boom, game over. He's president. So he's just that close. Either one of them really are just that close. Like
so
winding down.
Let's look at
and
this
it's still
now.
Anybody's race.
Biden president for 6 months,
mm-hmm.
which makes Kamala president when he's gone.
I give him a year.
So you give him a year. Yep. Well, I give him enough time to either become so sick that he becomes incapacitated and he can't do it, or enough time for Nancy Pelosi to declare him incompetent.
Yeah, I don't give him more than 2 years.
Yeah, declare him incompetent to do this. Now, I was listening to some people, JC, talk about Donald Trump running again So I don't know. Somebody on Fox said Trump 2024.
Yeah.
2024. So I went back to my handy dandy Wikipedia page. Now, you guys know I don't do the Wikipedia page thing very often, but
it's just a list.
Wikipedia has this really great list of presidents of the United States, and it has really good information in it because it not only gives you the president, it gives you the party, it gives you the vice president, right? And so I'm scrolling through and I'm thinking, who's the presidents? How many, if any, are actually presidents that have served non-consecutively?
Only one,
Grover Cleveland. So Grover Cleveland, who was a Democrat, was president from 85 to 89, and then president again from 93 to 97 with Benjamin Harris, Republican, in the middle. So it's not unheard of. It's been done before. I don't think, if I were Donald Trump, there's no way I would run again. I'd be like, screw you guys. I'm taking my money and going somewhere else. He doesn't need to run for president, but he didn't need to run in the first place. And I remember seeing in one of the videos not too long ago about how the president, Donald Trump, had given an interview and said, you know, I'm sick and tired of watching what's going on. That's the only reason why I would run for president. So if he ran for president because he was truly sick of government, then he could stick around and run again in 2024. But I found some really interesting information that I thought that I would share that is relevant to the Harris-Biden relationship. If Biden is declared incompetent or something else happens and Kamala Harris becomes president, I want you to notice here. I'll go back up to the top so you can see this. These are the vice presidents in the administrations. Look at this. Vacant. Here is a vacancy through the entire presidency. Vacant. There is no reason historically and by precedent and even by constitution
For Harris to even have a vice president.
It could be Empress Kamala Harris. I mean, this is what a czar is. A czar is a single ruler. And with the communist agenda that they have, right? That's how she would her statements of heavy-handed rulerness are not uncommon. I mean, she said, we're coming after your guns. I'm going to stop coming after your guns. And we would not actually be surprised at the heavy-headedness that she would carry as a president because that's how she ran her office as an attorney general.
Yeah, for sure. No, it's interesting with her in particular.
Total tyrant.
The BLM ravings for the last year plus. Everything that they allegedly hate, everything that BLM and Antifa allegedly hate, Kamala Harris represents. She is that. She is the poster child.
Yes.
For everything they say they're against. Other than the color of her skin, which some of them, some of them actually hate her because of that, because she's not pure.
Yeah. Hey guys, do me a favor and hit the thumbs up while you're in the chat room with us. If you're listening and you're not in the chat room, go ahead and hit the thumbs up. You can help us share, by the way. Sharing what you do to sharing the post helps us beat the algorithms. What's the problem?
Gosh, I got my eye. Excuse me.
Oh, I don't. Here. Oh, and I just spilled drink all over the place. Oh, crap.
So it's fascinating that. So with Harris in a position of president, you would have as president someone who could not even make it through the primary for her party. In fact, was just dismal. And one of the least popular candidates in the Democrat.
Oh my goodness! But JC, that's how government works these days.
Yeah,
because. What happens when look at this historically, my long-term listener kind of people out there, right? What happens when Congress can't get a piece of legislation passed? They stick it in the ADA, the NDAA. That's what it's in, the National Defense Appropriations Act. When you can't get something passed, you bury it in a must pass, right? So they can't get Kamala elected. Her own party would never have chosen her as president. I am absolutely confident of that. And that, so they buried her underneath Biden. I'm telling you, my dad, longtime Democrat, would have never voted to put Kamala Harris. He would have not shown up. Right now, that's, of course, why we have a situation, obviously, that there's still question. You don't have any confidence. Do you have any confidence in the quality, in the veracity of these votes and this count, JC? Any confidence?
Well, I mean, no, not in some of these states.
Yeah. So
not at all.
Right. So here's the thing, right? So you bury her behind Biden and you get it done. Now, you guys know I'm a former prosecutor, and I was a prosecutor by choice. There's a lot of people who are prosecutors because they can't get another job. But I was actually a prosecutor by choice. I loved my job. I loved what I was doing. And I believe I did it with a great integrity. Mm. Great integrity. So I'm telling you, when I look at Kamala Harris as an attorney general, she is a disgrace on that practice, an absolute disgrace. The woman running around talking about how she is the savior for the black people to come was a tyrant who went after black people to put them on death row with little to no evidence at all, just for her record, just to appease her ego. And that's not my words. Those are the words of the people in California who are minorities who fought her, right? Thank you, Larry Rogers, for your grant super chat. Curious if either of you have read the open letter to President Trump from Archbishop Carla Maria Vigano. If not, research. It's worth a read.
I typed in Archbishop and that immediately came up.
Yeah, I've actually read it.
Interesting. Yeah.
We have JC and I have a very, very good friend who is the founder and leader of a group called Catholics for Freedom of Religion. And she actually sent it to me. So I have read it. Yes.
Hmm.
It's pretty amazing. It's pretty amazing. There's some pretty good stuff in there. And I'm not Catholic, right? But
it's interesting in light of what the positions that the Pope is taking, seeing some of what's in there.
Well, but here's the thing, JC. That's not the position the Pope's taking. Mm. What you're seeing in the media is a media manipulation of what the Pope actually said.
Interesting.
I'm actually, you know, because the first time when that came out, I was like, hey, Barbara, is that actually what the Pope is saying? And she says the Catholics are all crazy because this is what the media is reporting that he said. Well, it turns out, remember, those of you who know, I go to Long Island a lot, right? So I have taught in the Catholic churches up there. One of the parishes that I actually taught in, one of the associate priests did an amazing in-depth study and expose on, he went to the original source, just like we say you're supposed to, went to the original source and got the entire speech of the Pope, went through it and discovered that what was happening was what the media was taking things out of context, cherry picking statements, and then lining them up as if they were continuous statements.
What's always the media technique? I mean, you can't really hardly believe anything they're saying. I mean, I don't know if you can believe anything.
Well, you can be for the Pope. You can be against the Pope. You can like the Pope. You can hate the Pope. You can think he's a good guy. You can think he's not a good guy. The problem is the truth is the truth. He either said what he said or he didn't say what he said.
Right.
And the problem with this situation is not whether you like the Pope or you appreciate the Pope or you're Catholic or not. The problem with the situation is that the media completely transformed a very specific speech where just like they did with Trump.
Yeah, the very fine people hoax.
Yes. So very just like he did with Trump, with the very fine people or all Mexicans are racists and
rapists and criminals.
They did the exact same thing with the words of the Pope to turn the Catholics against them each other.
Interesting.
To sow division in the Catholic religion so that they would come together. So they wouldn't come together. Because remember, you don't want unity in a group.
We hear you, Catherine.
We don't want unity in the group. That's what the media says. Why? Because you divide and conquer. That's how that works. So look at all those likes. You guys, thank you so much for going in and liking. And I know I've seen it. You guys are having really, really a lot of trouble sharing. But the trick is to go up into the address bar, copy, and then paste when they won't let you share. Oh, man.
So
Chris Ann Hall for president. I don't think so.
So it looks like It's another interesting thing about the alleged results of this election is the losses. What's even more unusual than what we showed before about the splits in the various states are the losses in the House.
Mm-hmm.
So
that's the other curious
thing. Democrats,
the Republicans kept the Senate
and they gained seats in the House, but yet the Democrat president allegedly wins. So that's another odd thing that, there was this massive prediction of the blue wave in the House and taking the Senate, all this sort of thing. None of that happened. And in fact, was the opposite. But yet we have that result.
So any of you, I'm watching a lot of chat in the chat room there, JC, a lot of talk about qualifications for president.
Okay.
Go to my YouTube channel and watch the parable of the end of the dromedary.
I thought that was removed.
No, my parable of the dromedary was not removed because I didn't say anybody's names. We didn't make any direct applications. We created a parable. Yeah. So go watch the parable of Uncle Sam and the dromedary, and that will help you understand. And we've had kids watch it and get it. From the parable of the Uncle Sam and the dromedary. It's a little cartoon thing that I did just to help you understand. There's one more thing, JC, that has really jumped up my craw that I want to talk about. I want to talk about in the last 15 minutes that we have, I want to talk about this crazy nonsense of minimum wage. And for some reason, people that I thought were thinkers don't get this. Mm-hmm. What's wrong with minimum wage? Right? Well, it costs a lot to live these days. What's wrong with people making $15 an hour? So number one, there's nothing wrong with people making $15 an hour. What's wrong is when the government mandates a wage. And what happens then is that you have to, it's criminal that you have to use a parable to exercise free speech. You're right. Absolutely. But in order to understand how this works, right, to mandate a minimum wage does not give you more money. It gives you less money. Because number one, what happens is you raise the cost of living.
Yeah, well, you have more. That person who gets the raise has more money, quote unquote, but you have less buying power.
Right, because the money's not worth anything.
So you didn't get anything. But
not only that, you're probably not going to have a job.
Right.
Because fewer people will be able to be hired because businesses can't afford to pay 15 people $15 an hour. They could maybe pay 10 people $7 an hour, but they're not going to pay 10 people $15 an hour. So you have a dilution of money, which will increase the cost of living because the buying power is diminished. There'll be fewer jobs and more kiosks, by the way. And you're not actually getting anything out of this.
Yeah.
Oh, I thought you were going to say something.
No,
I was just waiting.
Just listening. I mean, yeah. It blocks entry-level workers, and low-level, low-wage employees are harmed. Because if you're a business owner, you don't cut, you know, that. So you're taking on a loss. You're taking on a cost, right? Taking on a loss. Because you think about, say you got a minimum, entry-level worker, got a high school unskilled labor working for you, making $10 an hour. All of a sudden you have to pay that guy $15 an hour, right? It's $5 raise. So 40 hour a week. What is that? $200 a week over the month. That's $800 a month. $800. Suddenly you have to pay an extra $800 a month. That's a pretty sizable portion for a small business owner. Mm-hmm. So you have to do something you suffer that loss in the sense, and what are you going to do? You got to cut. You don't cut the guy at the top.
No.
Right. You cut at the bottom because I'm going to cut what I'm able to lose. So the guy at the higher paid guy, he's the higher paid guy because he has more skills. He has more experience. This guy's more valuable and contributes more to my business. So then I'm going to cut unskilled labor. So it's the unskilled workforce, the entry level workers. And in many cases, that is a minority community. So minimum wage is, in a sense, a racist policy because it hurts minority workers more than most. And so this is an extremely detrimental idea on many levels.
So, Aubrey, we're talking about minimum wage because the state of Florida has just passed a constitutional amendment mandating $15 minimum wage.
Yeah,
and it is what bankrupts states.
So they say there's no such thing as a dumb question, but that Audrey was a dumb question.
Yeah.
Why do we think the minimum wage is worth discussing?
Yeah.
Well, we just said why.
Yeah.
So if you missed it, rewind.
So your hot dog.
But economic illiteracy is one of the greatest threats to this republic. This is the economic illiteracy, which is the reason why we're discussing the issue of the minimum wage. Economic illiteracy undergirds the election of someone like Joe Biden. It's one of the very reasons that people like Joe Biden and Ocasio-Cortez and all the other Marxists are elected is because of economic illiteracy. So idiots think they can just vote themselves a pay raise. And this is something that is an absolute wrecking ball for this nation. So,
yeah.
I mean, it's one of the most important things to talk about.
Let me mention this. OK, what is the argument of why, you know, just throwing out there their bone? Why do we need to have a $15 minimum wage? They call it a living wage, by the way. What they say is we can't live on $8 an hour. Well, number one, entry level positions are not supposed to be where you're living, right?
Right.
Number two, you can't live on $8 an hour. So you want the government to tell your employer that they have to pay you $15 an hour. Well, you're packing burgers and stuffing tacos for $15 an hour. Now your burgers and your tacos cost not $2, but $6. Hmm. So now because you have to pay $6 for your tacos and your burgers, all of a sudden you can't live on $15 an hour because everything costs more. And let's not even mention the fact that guess what? You can't live at all because your job was cut because McDonald's and Taco Bell says, hey, we can replace you with a kiosk that doesn't cost us $15 an hour. We can place you with an automatic checker at Walmart. We don't even need a person. We can have one person stand over six registers, pay that person $15 an hour, and now seven people are out of work.
This is an important point to address that Steve brings here. Minimum wage incrementally by 2026. So this would be, you know, people would make such an argument about the minimum wage issue. So no big deal because of the incrementalism.
Because you won't if notice you, it.
If you pay attention to, just as an example, the stock market, right?
Mm-hmm.
Today, in fact, right? Part of yesterday and today, and the way the stock market is reacting. How many people are aware that we have a new president? No one, because we don't.
We won't have
a new president until after January. However, the markets are already adjusting.
Yep. By the way, you won't know who the president is until January 6th, and you won't have a new president until January 20th, because the current president's term does not stop until January 20th.
So the business community reacts to what's coming, right? They react to these things that are, I mean, even just announced or whatever.
Because the stock market's all speculation.
It's not just speculation. I mean, stock market is, but as far as within the business realm, it's planning. You have to plan what you're headed for. So the idea that, well, it's incremental, so, you know, we're not going to really see any effect. That is not necessarily the case, because businesses will make adjustments for what's coming. So you could already see the effects of obstacles for entry-level workers getting rid of low-level employees. So you will see effects, and then the move toward more automation. You're not going to wait until 2026 to do all this stuff. Like, it's gradual, so we won't do anything about it. No, people will be moving. So obviously, clearly, you would have a greater effect if it's an immediate raise, you know, to $15 an hour or something like that. Clearly, that's going to be a more immediate effect. But the argument that's out there that it's not going to have an effect because of the incremental nature, that's absolutely false.
So this right here, proves to me, JC, that we are dealing with such a dearth of wisdom and knowledge in America that this is the problem. Remember, Samuel Adams said, "No people will tamely surrender their liberties nor be easily subdued when knowledge is diffused and virtue is preserved." He said, but on the contrary, when the people become, let me put that back up there so you see, when the people become universally ignorant and debauched in their manners, they will sink underneath their own weight without the aid of foreign invaders. This will, I hope you realize this is Florida. Florida is absolutely dependent upon tourism.
Sure.
This is going to increase the cost of vacationing and our biggest industry in Florida.
Yeah, it's signaling. It's signaling. Much of economics is the signaling. So, I mean, it's not a good sign for the reaction of economic forces.
Yeah.
It's not good. You know, but here it is. There it is. Right. Exactly. That's right, Steve. Minimum wage should be market driven. Government has no place in picking winners and losers. Exactly right.
Yeah.
I mean, so, you know, you want to get to $15 an hour by 2026. That may happen. You know what I mean? That could happen naturally.
Right. With increased productivity, with increased prosperity. Because I had somebody say to me, well, we deserve $15 an hour.
No,
well, if you deserved $15 an hour, you'd be paid $15 an hour.
Exactly right.
And so that's the problem. This entitlement mentality. No, you don't deserve anything but what you're doing. Well, my boss won't pay me what I deserve.
Go get skills.
So
to get paid more.
A wrong job.
Yeah, or get a new boss, get a new job. I mean, this whole idea, my boss won't pay me what I'm worth, whatever. I mean, it's crazy. You're
Thank you, Toby. Toby's a first-time listener. Woohoo!
You don't dictate to the boss what you're worth. You negotiate.
Right.
But you increase your value.
Right.
Right. You increase your own value. As far as determining your worth is you develop skills, you get education, you get experience. And that happens. It's really the mentality of the entry level worker and the no skill worker thinking you just earn automatically. You just said you should automatically have this level and then you don't have to do anything about it because you give the drive through whatever the people that always get our order wrong every time we go to the drive.
Yeah, we were
give
like
them
that.
$15 an hour. That now motivates them to increase their skills and to be more productive and valuable for that business. Not going to happen. So it's a direct loss to the business without the gain. So you can talk all day about what somebody deserves and who's fair and all this. The system that the world operates in, and I don't care what, you know, you can try communism, Marxism, whatever. By the way, they're all capitalist systems. All of them are capitalist systems. They involve capital. It's just a matter of who has it, who has possession of it. So it works this way everywhere. And so it makes no difference about what you think you're worth. It's the idea of sustaining that business in order to make profit, right, to even pay you. So you have to have there has to be a benefit that you give to that process. If you're forcing the business owner with no evaluation about what they're receiving in return to this wage increase, you're hurting yourself, you're hurting your business. The prices are going to adjust upward and employment is going to adjust downward. That's it. There's no way around it. That's how it works.
So necessity is the mother of invention, or in this case, your transformation, but excess is the mother of laziness, right? So I love let me see if I can find this again. Somebody set it up here. You know, you had talked about, so get a skills. So now you're out of a job because nobody wants to pay you $15 an hour to bag groceries at Walmart. So now you go and you actually learn how to fix the kiosks,
mm-hmm.
right? So when people find themselves in a situation where they need a job, where they need employment, then it drives them to develop new skills. You don't fix a problem like this by throwing money at it, because money, excess of money, has an opposite effect.
Yep.
And we can't go through a drive-thru around this country and get an order right for the minimum wage that they're getting. And like you said, the $15 is not going to make them better workers. As a matter of fact, it will decrease productivity.
I think every student should have to go through Henry Hazlitt's Economics in One Lesson. That should be just required teaching for mm-hmm. every student, period. So economic illiteracy is a major threat in this nation. It's a major threat in this world.
Yeah. Well, there you have it. Everybody's like, oh, you live in Florida. You have such a conservative state. Aren't you lucky? No, you know what I told somebody the other day, JC? I told them, I said, you know what? I'm beginning to believe that Florida is one of the most deceptive states in the union. They are so good at looking to be what they are not. They are the exact opposite. The state of Florida is the exact opposite of a conservative, economically conservative, fiscally conservative, morally conservative state. Mm. Absolute opposite. Oh, yeah, we love Robert Kiyosaki.
Yeah.
And by the way, he's a really nice guy. A really humble, kind guy.
Yeah.
I like them. So.
Yep. So there are multiple fights on multiple levels, you know, and all of this is, as we mentioned a couple of shows ago, it's not coincidence. It's not spontaneous. It's all directed by the globalist elite, the globalist cabal. And their allies
mm-hmm.
And sympathizers at every level. And so,
right.
you know, it's like multiple holes in the dam that you have to plug. You only have 10 fingers. And so we have to recruit other fingers because you can't, you know, it's not one thing. It's many things. And so you're fighting Hydra, you know,
but once
all
again,
the time,
I just, I hate to be that guy, but I got to tell you, it all boils down to education.
Well, it's knowledge and virtue.
Knowledge,
Sam Adams
and
said,
virtue.
Knowledge and virtue.
Knowledge and virtue.
Yeah, we need a revival of both of those things. And we're going to have to, I mean, we got to work really hard. I think we've made progress. Even in this last 4 years, I think progress is made, but I don't think we really recognize the depth of the problem. So I don't think in the broad scheme of things, like I don't look at what happened as going backwards per se, like, oh, we've been going backwards. We've not been making progress. I don't believe that's the case. But it's just various elements, the way various elements came together is apparently giving this result. But even again, even if let's say Trump pulls this out and Trump were to win, it's still razor thin either way. We're still living in a context where we have a massive problem.
Mm-hmm.
We have a massive problem to address, and we're running out of time to address it.
Mm-hmm.
Now, on the other hand, we had this sort of this discussion. I said a similar thing when Bernie Sanders ran, and I'll say it again because you know, we were talking about the Senate. So Republicans made gain in the House. So they weakened the Democrats in the Senate or in the House. And they also held the Senate. So there'd be that sort of backstop in the Senate to an extent if Joe Biden wins and, you know, they have the House. On the other hand, I would suggest maybe it would be more profitable had the Democrats also won the Senate. And then for 2 years, they're able to do what they do and really expose themselves, and people learn finally what they're all about without the distraction of, oh, he's a racist and all this other nonsense distraction. So if they really had full control of government for at least 2 years, then maybe more people would finally get the message that we're all trying to make clear. Nothing would make it clear for you to get punched in the face yourself rather than somebody trying to tell you what being punched in the face feels like. Just a thought. So silver lining, maybe you'd call that.
Well, oppression always drives the need for liberty.
It does. But and oppression so also produces counterfeit solutions, which is how we got a lot of this stuff.
Oh,
so
yeah,
so that's right. what you say. There has to be that parallel movement,
yeah,
of somebody making sure truth is heard and making sure virtue is promoted. So it's not one or the other.
Well, that's why we have Liberty First University, by the way. Thanks for that little segue there, JC. But we have Liberty First University to help disciple you in this education, in this understanding. I mean, the daily show that we do here Monday through Friday, 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, is to bring you the current events so that you can apply the principles that we teach you here. And that's the purpose of Liberty First University, is to bring to the people the principles that are necessary in having a well-run, just government.
And I was thinking about, depending on how this thing turns, making a shirt maybe that says something like, I didn't vote for Marxism.
Oh yeah, there you go.
Something like that. So if you guys have any ideas.
Yeah, there you go. If you have any ideas for godgunsliberty.com, JC's cheat t-shirt shop, I didn't vote for Marxism.
Yeah.
Don't blame me. I didn't vote for Marxism. What is that?
That would make a good shirt. Yeah, right there.
Yeah, there you go.
I remember Neil Bortz in his little bit used to say, "You shall know the truth and it shall make you mad."
Yeah, well, there you are. Well, thank you so much for joining us today, guys. It's always a pleasure to spend our time with you this afternoon. Don't forget to share the show, thumbs up on the way out, or hit your like button, whichever platform that you're on. Share, 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 share. Help us defeat the AI censorship and algorithm. And we will be here bright-eyed and bushy-tailed for you. Same bat channel, same bat time tomorrow.
And I expect if Nevada comes in for Biden, they will call the election for Biden probably sometime tomorrow or the next day. And then we will enter into the litigation phase surrounding Pennsylvania, Arizona, and Wisconsin.
Yeah. Well, Pennsylvania's are, but Nevada still leaves open. Even if Biden wins Nevada, he doesn't win if Trump gets Georgia, North Carolina, and Pennsylvania.
No, yeah, he wins. So as far as what has been declared, he's within six electoral votes, which is Nevada. So if he wins Nevada, he'll have his six. That will be exactly 270. So I suspect if they call Nevada,
So Nevada wins, and then Pennsylvania, North Carolina, and Georgia don't matter?
Won't matter. Correct. Mm-hmm. So they will call it for Biden.
Interesting.
But the litigation, because one of those winning states is Arizona, which has reports of irregularities.
And Wisconsin.
The Sharpies and all that stuff.
Wisconsin also has fraud. Wisconsin.
No recount has ever been, never makes much of a difference. So I really think Wisconsin and that whole recount stuff is irrelevant. You're not going to flip Wisconsin
unless you discover the fraud that brings you into greater investigation.
Yeah. And I just don't see that happening.
Yeah.
Don't see that happening.
All right, guys, whether it's Biden, whether it's Trump, we will see you tomorrow.